Hi everyone, and welcome to another edition of Infinity Pods. Really sorry, it has been actually a few months since I've actually done a new podcast episode. Obviously, life and everything just gets in the way, doesn't it, sometimes. This is, like I keep saying, it's not really a structured podcast where I'm taking it professionally, as it were. I'm not doing this to get famous or anything. It's literally just me doing it as and when I can, and just to put my thoughts out there, kind of a mind dump, and just really discuss things what I like to discuss. And if you enjoy listening to it, that's great. It's an extra bonus. So today, I mean, the last time I do like flipping between video games and movies. It's what it's all about. A little bit of mental health in there, a little bit of life in there. But for this particular episode, since last episode, I did my first Infinity One shot, which, thank you very much, by the way. It's actually doing one of the best episodes, like single episodes, and that I've had on my podcast so far. So thank you very much for taking a listen to that. If you haven't seen Justice League, Zack Snyder's Justice League, that is, please go give it a watch. You're doing yourself a disservice if you haven't seen it, and you're a big, not even if you're a superhero fan, just a film fan. It's I mean, it's a 4-hour epic. So really put that time aside to watch all in one go. But today we're still going to be on the theme of movies, but we're going to tie that into video games. Because today I really want to discuss my top 5 movie video games. So this can be from any platform, any console. But it is titled My Own and Personal Experiences. This isn't a definitive, you know, list. None of my lists are definitive, but all my lists are personal to me. You might agree with some of my choices, you might not. But there's a few in here which I don't think get talked about enough, and there's definitely one in here that gets talked about way too much, I think, and overshadows a lot of the other decent video game adaptations of films. So there's no particular structure, rules or anything. The only rules here is that I've played them, basically. I've had to have played them to put these games into this list. So there is only 5. So we're not doing a top 10. We're going to do a top 5 today. I like doing top 5s every now and again because it's just a really quick way to get your thoughts down. Top 10s can, you know, and sometimes it is hard to get a top 10. I mean, I couldn't really think of top 10. Video game adaptations, but there were definitely 5 in here that I could definitely talk about. So, without further ado, let's get into it. So we're going to go from 5 to 1. I'd say that again, they're not in any particular order. One isn't as good as the other one, but I would say my number one is the best video game adaptation I've played, in terms of being tied to a movie and feeling like you're part of the movie the game is based on. So at number 5, as I mentioned, everyone likes to talk about this when talking on this subject, but Spider-Man 2, this is Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2, for the PlayStation 2, back in the 2000s. I mean, who hasn't played this game? If you're an avid video game fan, and even if I think there's people out there that are big video game fans have still played this game. It's up there for a reason. Everyone talks about it for a reason. It is the game. I'm going to sound the most cliched I can. Yes, it does make you feel like Spider-Man. Before Insomniac came around and absolutely knocked out the park and with the current Spider-Man games, Spider-Man 2 was the game to go to for it. It was actually the first game to get it right. If you ever played Spider-Man on PS2, the very first one, this is taking back years and years and years, but that Spider-Man, you couldn't actually go down to the city streets, and you know, but you could have. I think there was a cheat where you could play as the Green Goblin, though. That was cool. But my I was really based in on the PlayStation. I still think they will pull today. If you ever get a chance, go back to the PS1 Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2 Enter Electro, and those games are fantastic. They still hold up to them. The amount of content in there that. If anybody ever watched Spider-Man the 90s animated series, like to me that is the Peter Parker. It's the best Peter Parker that's ever been done, in my opinion. I think I think they're redoing it or something. I did read somewhere that's something going on with it. But yeah, go back. That's what those two games are based on. But considering Spider-Man 2, I mean, weaves in and out of the plot from the film. You're still fighting Doc Ock at the end of all of it. But I mean, there's little. I mean, everyone makes an appearance here. One of my favourite missions was actually, I can't remember who it was for, but I think it was something to do with you had to swing out to the Statue of Liberty, but you had to actually use these balloons to get there and to time your swings and everything. It was just really cool. Just everyone. I mean, I don't know how many times I got to the top to the Empire State Building just to jump off it. But Spider-Man 2 really was. Really laid the groundwork for current superhero films. I mean, the superhero game, sorry. A bit of disclaimer on here. I know Spider-Man 2's on here, but there is no Batman Arkham games just because they're not based on any Batman films. If we were going superhero games, I mean, Batman and Spider-Man, you know, that might be a list to do in the future, but there's no Batman on here. But Spider-Man 2 definitely laid the groundwork for all that. You know, I can't, countless times picking up some kid's balloon or delivering pizzas. And the amount of times I replayed the story, I mean, I replayed that game a lot, just because it's a fantastic game. It really is. But that's why it's number five. It's always number one on these sort of lists. So I wanted to move it up to number five. I wanted to move it first, technically last, to talk about and get out of the way, because then these next four games are the ones where I don't think they're spoken about enough. And I'm actually, number four is actually two games. But because they're trilogy games, I've kind of moulded them into one. So that's the Die Hard trilogy and the Alien trilogy, both on PlayStation 1, which I played. Die Hard first, I mean, the fact that you could play through three different and separate, or through all three films, you know, on the disc. So you got Nakatomi Plaza, then you got the airport, and then driving around in the taxi, stop bombs. I mean, the one I played the most was the Nakatomi building. It was... I mean, to this day, I still haven't completed it. I think at one point I got so far up that tower, and I think I died at like the second to last level. I was absolutely gutted. For Die Hard 3, didn't really play that one a lot. The only brutal thing about that is when you put it on first person mode and you have bodies flying out the windscreen. I mean, seriously, not many games have matched that recently, even modern games for gore. For PlayStation 1, it was pretty brutal. And Die Hard 2 was the first person on rails shooter, where you went through the airport and picked up items, health packs, extra weapons, grenades, and it was really good. I really enjoyed that. But Die Hard 1 was where it was at. The Alien trilogy wasn't actually a separate, you could pick this one, or this one for the films. It was all tied in one game, but just atmosphere and the sound of the guns, everything was right about that game. Everything felt like the movies. I mean, especially Hadley's Hope from Aliens. It really felt like you were going around that place and you were being hunted. And even just getting to points where you actually got to the nest and you got to see the queen and you had to fight the queen. Atmosphere-wise, it really nails it on the head, and that's why it's on this list. So that's Alien and Die Hard trilogy. Again, mulling those two together just because I feel they're in the same sort of bracket. But moving on to number three. Now, number three, I do feel like you had to be a certain age and you had to be... And because you were a certain age, you had to be that age when this film came out. And that's Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone on PlayStation 1. Now, yes, I know it's called the Sorcerer's Stone in America, but it's really not. It's Philosopher's Stone. It will always be the Philosopher's Stone. Anyone says, oh, it's Sorcerer. No, it is not. It's the Philosopher's Stone. But this is why I'm saying this was a moment in time that I feel like people my age are had to be that age to understand why this was such a big deal. Now, Harry Potter, if I remember correctly, I think came out in 2001, which I was still in primary school. So I was probably 9 or 10 when the first Harry Potter came out. So like, to me, that was peak audience. You know, that's exactly what they were going for. And this game came along with it. And the fact, I think it was one of the first games, apart from Alien and Die Hard trilogy. Shouldn't really have been playing those sorts of games at my age, but hey ho. You know, we all were kids once. We all used to sneak around our parents and everything. But Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, I remember getting this game. I remember it costing like £30 at the time. And like nowadays, like, you know, that's, it's, you know, games are like pushing 50, 60. I mean, I've seen some PS5 games for like £70, but totally different video. Sorry, podcast for another time. But Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, getting that and being able to play through the events of the movie that I've just watched, and everyone was like Potter mad at the time. It was like, oh my god, it's... I mean, this was, remember guys, this was before Twilight, before Hunger Games, before Divergent, before Mortal Engines. It's before Harry Potter was the first one to do it all, and to do, I will say, and he's the only one to still do it properly and to still grab that audience, and it really shows this day. But I have really great memories going over to my mate's house and we going through the Philosopher's Stone. It was actually the game that actually I had to learn chess to get through a game. I don't think I can name any other game where it's made me go away to you know, learn a board game of all things to get past it, because at the end of Philosopher's Stone you have to get through three separate boards to get to the end. But really great game. I mean, the character models now are particularly infamous. I mean, Hagrid being a case, he's just, yeah, it's hilarious. And if anybody watches Cad Icarus, I've been a fan of Cad Icarus for years, but he did a fantastic video, a really funny video on Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Please go watch that. It's really funny and it really hits a lot of the nails on the head for that one. But yeah, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, that's number three. Basically more nostalgia, that one, but it still tugs on a few heartstrings when I think about it, and, you know, nostalgia-based thoughts there on that game. But number two, moving on to number two. Now, right, we all know how bad this film was, but I will still say that X-Men Origins Wolverine is one of the most important superhero films to come out. The reason for that is because it gave studios basically a funnel to listen directly to fans and say, look, this is what fans want, this, but we're doing this, so we need to do this. Not necessarily the studios all the time, it's the actors, the directors, everybody involved. Because I don't think, you know, we won't have a Deadpool. I don't believe we would have Deadpool, or we wouldn't have any of these. I don't think The Boys would be up here, you know, nowadays, if it went for X-Men Origins Wolverine. I think it really gave a shock to the industry. It was like, well, hold on a minute, you know, this film is wrong. Everything about it, I mean, the fact that they, it's infamous now, the fact that they sewed shut the mouth of the maker of mouth, Deadpool himself, you know. And a lot of credit goes to Ryan Reynolds for keeping that character alive and wanting to push it through and still, you know, taking the piss out of himself for that film. But no matter what the film brought, I don't think enough people played the game. And this was quite far off from the movie. I mean, you went into mountain structures and you went into the jungle and you fought robots and random aborigines, I think, and tribesmen, and all these monsters. It was crazy. It was absolutely nuts, but it brought a fantastic arcade feel to it, and it was incredibly gory and incredible, and it was just incredibly satisfying. And it was, I remember getting there was a demo of it on PlayStation 3, and I honestly can't tell how many times I downloaded that demo. Because at the time I didn't know I thought you had to play a demo then delete it. Yeah, I know. But I replayed it so many times, and when I actually finally got to play the game, it was brilliant. Just, and it's why it's number two. It's not one of these games that anybody would necessarily jump to straight away and go, oh yeah, that was a great game, because they're too busy thinking about the actual film itself. Yeah, balls to the film. We don't care about the film. You should care about the game though. It's dirt cheap. I mean, obviously at the moment PlayStation don't like doing backwards compatibility, but if you still have a PS4, all right, God, do you know what I'd actually say? Go get a PS3 and actually say play this. It's fantastic. You're not doing yourself any harm by going backwards to play this game. And honestly, X-Men Origins Wolverine it's just a hell of a time. It really is. I mean, I think in the first mission, you jump onto the helicopter, you grab a guy out the front of the helicopter, and he stick his head in the rotary blades while still up in the air. That tells you everything about it, really. But yeah, fantastic game, shit film. Let's be honest. But going through this quite quick. This benefit of a top five, I guess. But number one, my all-time favourite video game adaptation of a film. And it's also, I mean, it ticks a lot of boxes. Not because the film was fantastic in itself when it came out in 2005, December 2005 even. But this game, I remember playing the demo. I remember seeing screenshots and everything. I see, oh my God, this for the PS2, this looks amazing. And again, similar to X-Men Origins, I don't think it's talked about enough. I don't think it's realised enough. And not a lot of people have played it, but again, go back and play it. You need to play this game. I think they brought it out again on the Xbox 360, but they'd never do a remaster of it. But I'd play a remaster because I played this game so much. And it was one of the first times I unlocked. I didn't realise you could unlock things out of it. But the game I'm talking about is Peter Jackson's King Kong. Now, you might think, oh, you know, I didn't even know they made a game from that King Kong at all. But it was a really different game. It was the survival. It was an action survival game. So like a lot of the times, it was quite puzzle based. You know, how to get around things, how to burn fires with your sticks. I mean, there wasn't a lot of ammo either. So you were conscious of your environment and how you use the environment to get around things. That was one side of it. And then you had the other side where you actually played as Kong, and Kong was just ignore survival. It was literally a button masher. You fought T-Rexes, and that is just again, I don't think I've played a game since where I fought T-Rex as a big massive monkey or a big anything. It was just totally insane, absolute nuts. And going through everything from the start all the way to the end, you know, and you end up on the top of the Empire State, and you know, you fight the planes as Kong. It was just absolutely brilliant. But one thing that I really liked about this game, they did. I didn't know this because they had a points-based system after you completed it, so you could go back to chapter select, complete certain areas that you liked playing. I mean, I played a lot of the T-Rex fighting, but there was one bit where you had a snipe. It was all about sniping, but you could snipe bats from so far away, and you had to make your way up this long, massive hill. Don't know if anybody remembers that, but I really enjoyed that. But you got points based on your performance. And if you got enough points, you could unlock things like filters. And there was a big viewing gallery that you could go in and, you know, have a look at different scenes from what's happened from the movie and the game. But the biggest surprise I found was actually the big thing you can unlock is an alternative ending. And it's actually an ending where it completely, you know, rewrites, you know, Kong dying, and he actually ends up surviving, and they actually ship him back to Skull Island. And I thought that was really cool, because especially with the MonsterVerse, you know, the legendary I've got with, you know, Godzilla v. Kong, Kong Skull Island, Godzilla King of the Monsters, and Godzilla, all those films, I actually thought it was I just thought it was really cool that there's a sneaky little thing there where he did still ignore Skull Island, he did still go, and then he came back. And that's when, to me, that's when Kong Skull Island, you know, took on. I know that's not canon, that's my own, you know, fantasy, you know, fiction going on there. But I just like to think that, oh, right, all the events of the original King Kong still happened. And he's still like a small, you know, you could still class him as a, you know, an adolescent. And then Kong Skull Island, that's when he carries on. And then he obviously eventually grows up. So you've still got the legend of King Kong in there. You're still respecting the other films. But you're also creating this new timeline for Kong. So, and that's why that was Peter Jackson's King Kong. That's why, again, all these games I'd say go play. I mean, you've probably already played Spider-Man 2, let's be honest. And probably as well Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. But the other, especially 1 and 2, X-Men Origins Wolverine and Peter Jackson's King Kong, the video game. Yeah, you can go. I don't know if King Kong's on Xbox Game Pass. I'm not an Xbox fan, but apparently their Game Pass is fantastic. I don't know if it's on there. If it is on there, you are lucky, to say the least. I mean, I'd love to play it again on PlayStation, especially with trophies attached. It'd be absolutely fantastic, but hey-ho, I don't think that's going to happen. Sony are quite focused on the future. So that was my top five video game adaptation of movies. Again, quite a short one that I'm normally used to doing, but I like changing it up every so often, especially after we've had a 2-month hiatus now. I think the last one I did was back in March. I think it's almost 2 months to the day I actually did a podcast. But yeah, no, great top five there that I wanted to get down for a while. I've had that idea for a while, and just to talk about games. But please use my Twitter feed. I'm not on Facebook, but use my Twitter feed on my Instagram. Let me know what top five games you like. Please, if you've got Spider-Man 2 in there as a number one, please don't bother. Just come on, have a real good think about what video game adaptations you liked playing and that nobody else seems to talk about. It's why I've picked the ones I've picked on there. But yeah, have a think. I'd love to hear your thoughts. When enough people get Q&As, I'd love eventually to do a Q&A session podcast. And we've got some more listeners and everything. That'd be really fun. But that was my top five podcast. So thank you very much for listening. Hope you have a great day. And I'll see you again soon, guys. Bye.